Hey, it's Aaron Hogan, Genesis driver, encouraging you to experience the difference between ordinary and extraordinary with the Genesis GV80 at Genesis of Round Rock. You'll discover bold design, advanced technology, and refined power. And this month at Genesis of Round Rock, enjoy ultra-low APR financing, just 0.49% APR for up to 48 months on select 2026 GV80 models. You heard that right, 0.49%. Get out there and see them at Genesis of Round Rock, 2201 North May Street, or explore your options online at genesisofroundrock.com. Luxury never looks so good. Welcome to Genesis.
From the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas, this is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Hi again, everyone. I'm Ed Clements, along with the former Texas Longhorns All-American kicker, Bon Vivant, Bachelor of the Year here in Austin. His name is Jeff Ward. Also with us, Kyle Owen, producer extraordinaire, pushing the right buttons. Hope you've had a great afternoon. Let me just say, this is a weather warning for you. It's hot outside. Hydrate.
You had to warn them of that?
Yes.
You can't feel it?
That's what I've been told by government officials to remind people. Oh. You didn't get the memo, did you? Well, we just got the goddamn internet back up, which I can't get on. But no, you need to hydrate if you're outside. Don't have exposure too long outside. I was at Butler Pitch and Putt today and had an early tee time, but it got hot. Very, very hot. I was drenched stem to stern after my grueling 9 holes of golf in 120-degree heat.
That's about 260 yards.
Well, let me tell you what. It was grueling. It was hot, and it was humid.
Mm.
So I got through that. What did you talk about in the first hour? I have no clue.
Okay, well,
what did you discuss, Jeff? What
probing things? I did not mention our distinguished Attorney General running out of a news conference that he called. Didn't mention that.
That was a classic. That was really funny. Ken Paxton, Jeff's talking
about. Is it
funny
or disgusting?
It's disgusting and it's funny because the guy, New York Times had an article last week where Ken Paxton recently bought a condo or condos in Utah for $1.6 million.
He has between 9 and 11 of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's been on the government till for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why, oh, why can this a government worker be so flush with cash?
So he calls a news conference to, and he has, which I think is disgusting, too. I don't think, if you currently work for the taxpayers, I don't think you should be involved in campaigning for people. If you're a sheriff and you work for the taxpayers, you don't need to be standing behind Ken Paxton wearing your cowboy hat like you're in the Wild West or something. But that's another argument of which people don't seem to care. So he calls a news conference to, I guess, talk about I'm tough on crime, which is makes you vomit on your shoes. And so he and his staff open it up to questions.
Yeah, questions, well, because this is campaign time.
He invited the reporters there, so reporters are going to ask questions, which they should. And one of the things, of course, which is a hallmark of his campaign, is election fraud, which is a bogus argument. It doesn't exist.
It is a bogus argument, yeah. And it's perpetuated by Donald Trump and this malarkey about 2020.
They go, okay, question from, I don't know, Sarah from blah, blah, blah. She asks, well, you voted in different places. We're not talking about that right now. We're only discussing law enforcement. And she's trying to keep asking the question, which this person wants to be United States Senator. I think it's fair to ask.
Sure.
Goes to the next person. The next person asks about the condos. He then and his staff say, we're out of here, and he leaves.
Right.
He just walked out the door.
Just walked out the door, and one of his little 20-something assistants said, we want to talk about the brave men and women of law enforcement. Listen, you're on a political campaign. You got to step up to the plate.
Yeah. And you know, he just about sprinted out.
Mm-hmm. And he's so pro-American too, spending the 4th of July in Europe with his girlfriend.
Yeah,
she's married. He's married.
And that
says America.
I didn't talk about that. So, talked about the New York Times ranking of 138 quarterbacks.
Ooh,
I read 135 of them.
Oh, Jeff, Jeff, my friend, let me just say this. Get a dog or something. Get a dog.
I read 135.
Why did you continue reading after 30?
Because it was like just a battle.
Mm-hmm.
They did so much work, I thought, I'm gonna
spend this time. Did you fill me in on the quarterback at Western Michigan or Georgia Southern?
Yeah, I probably can. I can't remember where they're ranked. So, I talked about how it's impossible. They ranked 1 through 10. I talked about 1 through 10. Arch Manning was 7.
Okay.
Which I thought was far more reasonable and practical than a year ago when he was going to be the greatest player ever the sport had ever seen.
At this time last year, people were just, you know, vomiting over.
He won a Nobel Prize, yeah. The Heisman Trophy. He was Humanitarian of the Year. You know, he was college football's Nelson Mandela. Yeah. I mean, it just went on and on and on. But, you know, I said, I think it's harder than ever before to really judge teams and players because they're just mercenaries. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Texas has some guys that can catch. You know, at times Arch Manning is good, at times he was bad. But what you still don't know is if they can block.
That's the biggest key of the whole season. Yeah, you could go into the Ohio State game the second week. We're not going to learn much against Texas State. Texas State will put up a game effort, but they're just in a different class. But you'll learn something in that first quarter when the Texas big guys can't move the Ohio State big guys. That's when you say, uh-oh.
Or they can. I don't know.
Yeah, but, I hope they do.
I mean, and I think, but I even think it's true. You've got so many players bounce around so often now, you don't really know what you're going to get.
They're mercenaries. You're right.
And even with quarterbacks, and last year was a perfect example, we thought we knew. We thought we knew if 5 guys would be first-round picks. None of them were first-round picks. And some dude named Fernando Mendoza was the lock number 1.
Right.
So all we know is Trinidad Chambliss was the second best quarterback in football a year ago, so he starts this year as probably the best quarterback. And then you got this bunch of guys, like in the SEC, and Arch Manning is in this group.
Oh, you got the kid from Georgia.
Right. And so you've got, I think he's the second best. So, but then after that, I don't know that I could say Arch Manning is 3rd or 4th or 5th or 6th, or Sam Leavitt is 3rd, 4th, or 5th, or 6th, because like Marcel Reed can be really good at times, like Arch Manning, and then pretty sketchy at times.
Can disappear.
Sam Leavitt can be really good at times when he's healthy. He can disappear. So I don't think it's practical. People don't like to hear. They like to hear hot takes where you know exactly what's going to happen. But I think you have to take players 3 through 7, and you don't know.
Yeah. I think people
talent. You just don't know.
People are building off the last quarter of Arch's season. And there's a little it's soft in the bowl game when Michigan, coached by the legendary Biff Pogge, that was a layup. But he did look good, but that was a layup. That was an undermanned, undercoached, an unmotivated Michigan team. But I think they're building on that. But in the SEC, you've got quarterbacks. You do have quarterbacks.
But you don't know, like Sam Leavitt. He reminds me of Arch Manning. You look at him and go, there's some real talent there, and he can really run.
He was great before the injury.
But it's, yeah. Marcel Reed, at times, till you get to November, looks like a Heisman Trophy candidate. But then, and then Arch Manning, at times, misses guys badly. The question mark with Arch Manning is not that he can throw a deep ball, but that's not what a tough schedule would be built on. It's how can you find guys at 15 to 20?
Right.
And don't know that yet. So I talked about that.
Let me add some more quarterbacks. John Mateer's a guy that he came in with such high hopes from Washington State a year ago. And then I know he was injured against Texas when he played. He played too early probably with that broken hand. But he made some really dumbass decisions. He made decisions where he thought he was throwing against Eastern Washington and not the Texas Longhorns. It cost his team the game. So that guy's good. Lenore Sellers of South Carolina. Wow. Can this guy look great?
Yep.
Or can this guy look average as everyday wash?
Yeah. And that's that whole group of players. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll tell you one that I think, a guy that I think is really solid, because I like solid. I don't need spectacular than awful. that I do think is I find him one of the most interesting players on one of the most interesting teams, and it's going to be a buzzkill, and you're going to make fun of me. But that's Connor Wiegman in Houston. Okay. I think he's a really good player who is really solid consistently on a team that I think is better than people realize. No, they're not going to play for the national championship. But he's a guy that I think you could look up and go, wow. Almost. I'm not saying he's Fernando Mendoza. But if you said, Jeff, pick a guy that emerges from the pack, that's the one I'm going to pick that emerges from the pack. That maybe by October people go, wow, that team's pretty good, and that guy is pretty good.
Well, you were already on some jackassery, which
you.
I think I called it jackassery.
I've heard that. I just
when you say
that
the
to my face.
The Big 12, and I'll say that to your face.
You did.
Mono and mono.
I got
you. You said some outrageously improper things to my face. But let me just say this. You have said that game, I believe, September 12th, or
whatever.
The second week or the third week
of the
season. The
wind will be blowing 60 miles per hour.
Yeah. It's going to be in Lubbock.
Yeah.
And you say that's going to determine the Big 12 champion.
I think I said that game could determine.
Oh, you're backing off now?
I did say that.
Oh, you're backing off.
Kyle may want to back me up here. I said that game might decide the entire Big 12 race.
Yeah, I think that's what you said. Okay, I'm going to back you up on Connor Wiegman, too. He'd probably still be starting at Texas A&M if he didn't break his leg.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not. I know Houston's an outlier. 18th. I know the only thing people care about are Texas and A&M and the giant power. I'm just saying, if you said, hey, Jeff, if you had a dude that kind of came out and people said, whoa, I think he's kind of a guy, even though he was really good at times at A&M, I mean, it's not like the guy's a stiff.
Oh, far from a stiff, my friend.
I'm just saying that I think in October he's one of those names that pops.
And you got a guy.
Call that jackass.
Maybe I'll back off.
Well, I don't know.
I think, and see, things have changed up in Hub City Land. Since the outrageous decision for poor
since they were robbed.
Brendan Sorsby.
Since they invited Ken Paxton to get involved.
Yeah, people are blaming Ken Paxton.
The Perry Mason of our time.
September 18th against Houston.
Yeah.
Houston quietly has a coach. You know what he just does?
He's so good.
He's like Kyle Whittingham to me.
Yep.
Willie Fritz is his name. He just coaches his tail off.
Yep. He goes to a place, they win.
Yeah.
He goes to another place. They win.
I mean,
the guy's just rock solid.
And I think
he doesn't make
win
any noise either.
Preseason polls I've seen, Tech 1, BYU 2. BYU's got, the veteran quarterback. And
fat
I like. Pardon me?
He's got a fat.
He's not fat.
He's fat. They have a fat quarterback.
It's because he wears the number 22 jersey or
it's
something
47.
Like that. Close. 25 off. And I like
that. And he wears a neck roll.
I like the Polynesian coach.
Okay.
Satake, he's good.
Okay.
But they have Houston third in many of the polls, which I agree.
All right.
And I think those are the three power teams.
I was trying to be out there. I'm saying if you force me to pick an outlier. Then I talked about no one's going to care, but I asked you this question because the MLS has launched an ad campaign. It's got McConaughey in it. It's got Magic Johnson in it.
Is Will Ferrell in it?
I don't think so. Pull that up, Kyle. It's got Kevin Durant in it.
Kevin Durant?
Yeah, I found that weird. And it's a really interesting campaign. The World Cup final domestically set, it was NFL-like numbers.
$60 million for the World Cup in North America.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's North America, Jeff, not South America, where Argentina's from. That's North America.
I've gathered that, yeah. I'm aware. So those are NFC championship game-like numbers. What happens now? And so they launched an ad campaign with a really smart tagline that says, we'll take it from here or something. Play it, play it. It's pretty creative.
Hey, Leo. Can we kick it?
Chase in. Dale.
It's about that time. You.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can we kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, we can.
Like a trap does. Before this, did you really know what life was?
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
All right, all right, all right.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Kiki.
Yes, you can.
Can we kick it?
JC, Helen.
You heard the man. Thanks, world. We'll take it from here.
Wow.
Pretty.
Now, that is a good
and
spot.
They're poor. The owners are pouring a ton of money into this. And
Anthony's doing that too here in town.
I don't think he's spending anything. I'll see him in a few hours.
Oh, 8:30 on the pitch.
Yes,
yeah.
It'll be nice and comfy tonight.
Oh boy,
to
it's
watch
be
two
nice.
Of the worst teams in the league.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Oh, it'll be great.
Maybe you'll welcome that beer if they score a few goals.
Yeah, sure.
I think you know soccer. I applaud them for carrying this on because I think people have seen Ted Lasso. People yep. watch the premiere. And I think people see this can be a community deal. This is our team, our stadium, yada, 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 yada. Plus, with Messi's in this commercial. He's coming back to the MLS with Miami.
Yeah.
So I think it's of the right time. I think it's outstanding.
Yeah. But here's my another hot take. Could be Jackassery. This is where Jeff, what day is it?
It's hot take Wednesday. It's 20 seconds.
Okay. So I deliver, you call it Jackassery. I'm not sure. An answer's already been given. So one of the many things I do when I don't sleep is I read, I'm subscribed to a thing called Front Office Sports. It's a business and economics thing. And I know.
Oh, excuse me.
Exactly. But I asked the question, is viewership going to go up?
Yes, I think it will.
It's not already.
What do you mean not already?
Okay, here's the thing.
How many games have they played in games since?
Yeah, they've had a couple.
Have they?
Yep.
Oh,
here's the thing. I think soccer, viewership-wise, faces what baseball faces. It's a great game to go and see in person. I don't know that we're going to get you to watch an MLS game on TV.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I'd rather go watch my main man from Norway and right. Manchester City play.
The paywall also hurts it a little bit. Unless you're local. I mean, local yeah. cable has it on, but
yeah.
Apple
paywall?
TV's
what be
not
this
cheap.
Paywall? Oh, I've got Apple TV, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not everybody else does.
So, here are the numbers. The MLS has only had a couple of games. And look, I think MLS has run well. It's a very smart commissioner. But listen to this. There's a 150% increase in ticket sales in the MLS already.
Well, I'm sure these kids have seen it on team. Mom, Dad, let's go.
In Philadelphia, it was 218%. But the television viewership numbers have only seen a slight uptick.
Hmm.
And I think that's just going to be reality because Americans are trained. We're trained on NFL watching. We don't watch baseball games. And I'm not sure you're going to convince us to watch soccer games on TV. It'll be an interesting test.
It will be, but I think a lot of people, and Premier League starts, when is it? Is that going to go against college football, though?
No.
Saturday games?
No. Premier League is Saturday. Well, it's 6-hour difference, all right?
I know that, Jeff, but don't they have them on Saturday mornings?
Yes.
Okay, and
yeah.
You've got all your pregame
shows. Oh, yeah,
no.
First thing, my son and I are up on Saturday and Sundays. It's Premier.
Okay.
And that game is great. It's just a great product. It is fast. They don't flop. Jeff Bezos is looking to buy Liverpool.
Oh, wow.
And that will piss them off.
Mm.
But
oh, the lovely Mrs. Bezos there.
Oh, gosh.
In all her glory.
Gosh. They will rip her to shreds.
All her glory.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if it works. Because they're putting a lot of money into it, a lot of famous people into it, to get you to watch the MLS on TV, which is a completely different product than you're going to see when you watch Spain play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to break it to you. But you might see more goals.
Now, Spain is not in the Premier League. Are they in their own little league in Spain?
What?
I'm just asking a question, man.
That's
don't laugh at me.
Well,
they have their own national leagues.
No, hang on. Well, yeah.
Okay.
But that's like saying the U.S. Olympic basketball team has their own league. It's an all-star
what
team.
What I'm saying... No, hold on. No, you did not understand my question.
Correct.
The question is for, like, Real Madrid...
Oh, yeah.
Or do they play in the English Premier League, or do they have their own Spanish league they play in? You're looking at me like that was a dumbass question.
It really is, because they're in Spain.
Okay.
Why would they... yes, they have La Liga.
Oh, La Liga.
Yeah. The best leagues in the world are...
The Premier League?
Premier League, which has the money, because American ownership.
Then apparently La Liga.
Yeah, or your other favorite, the Bundesliga.
That would be in Deutschland,
That's correct.
Yeah.
And then, the Italians start
Serie
to...
Serie A, yeah.
I mean, they're probably fourth, but it's falling apart.
It's probably a stupid question, but I thought maybe some...
And so the MLS is probably... I think the Mexican League is better, and I think I've read a lot of stuff about a lot of venture capital firms are investing in Mexico
like
teams.
Monterrey and Guadalajara.
Yeah, they got a really good TV deal. It's a good business. Mm-hmm. And I think it's improving. So, I don't know. It's just a...
Americans have a misperception about Mexico, too.
Yes.
Because I think we've been bombarded on our television with the poor people coming over the illegal aliens.
No. There's
some metropolitan... Yep. Mexico City is highly sophisticated and urban-like.
There's a bunch of money. Again, in 4 a.m. reading on... There's a lot of venture capital flowing into their soccer league.
Mm.
Because they have such good TV deals, mm-hmm. and the brands are doing better. It's an interesting business.
I'd like to go to San Miguel in Mexico. So, have you ever been to San Miguel?
That's like old lady stuff.
No, it's not.
Yeah, they've got shop for candles and art.
They get cooking lessons margarita parties.
It's an old lady town. Sorry. Was that rude?
An old lady town.
It feels like where you go to knit.
Okay, and you'd rather go to Via Cunha or wherever?
No.
Ah, Senorita.
Senor Frogs in Cancun.
Senor Frogs? Yeah.
Beer bong. Then here's the third one. You're going to say it's jackassery. I played the audio clips of Kalen DeBoer getting just ripped in questions about not winning national championships.
I'd like to hear those a little bit, yeah.
At Alabama.
Okay.
If Nick Saban were coaching at Alabama today, they would be the 3rd to 4th to 7th best team in the SEC.
Back with more on the Wednesday edition here at 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
Now back on the show, Ed Clements and Jeff Ward, Kyle Owen. The SEC Media Days continue. I really enjoyed Aaron and Jack today. I don't like this guy that much on TV because I think he's rather hickish. Marty? Oh, what's old Marty's last name? Marty, who's on there? You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he was there with Lane Kiffin at the airport, that guy.
Yeah.
Boy, he sounded great today with Aaron Hogan. He had a great interview with Aaron this morning, and he was, you know, didn't go his hick route, didn't talk like that. He was really, really good. I was, you know, looking at the Ohio State game. Do you know who the offensive coordinator is now of Ohio State? This is worrisome to me, because this guy's good.
Hang on. Is it Chip Kelly?
No. He's in the Chip Kelly realm, though.
Oh, it's the guy from the Steelers.
Yes, Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
He's the head coach of the Falcons.
Yeah. Said before, you need to treat it like a pro team? And that's exactly what... Because I don't think... I know it's hard to argue this because they've won a championship. I don't think Ryan Day's all that sharp. But what he has done...
He just said,
I'll go get pro guys.
He's got Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator.
Because pro football is light years tougher than college football.
Right.
It is a completely more difficult science.
And that should be worse than the Longhorn fans because you got Julian Sayin, who's a Heisman favorite. You got Jeremiah Smith. And if Patricia can get the defense, you know, they're going to be good. You know what, Arthur
Smith? He has two NFL coordinators.
Yeah. Arthur Smith is an interesting guy. You know what his father did?
I don't.
His father was a co-founder of FedEx.
Oh.
Yes.
Why is Arthur working?
Exactly.
What the hell are you doing,
man? And his grandfather was the co-founder of Tottle House, which is now Waffle House. But his father founded FedEx.
Wow.
Can you imagine the wealth that young man has, you would think, for the stock?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess his dad said, hey, do what you want to do. I want to coach football. And he's a good coach. I know he's flamed out as a head coach at the Falcons.
Yeah, but you give those NFL dudes and just say, go dissect college teams.
Yeah.
It's nothing to them.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, look, Matt Patricia is a complete flame out as a head coach.
Oh, he's terrible.
But he freaking dialed up Texas like it was no problem.
Last year he was magnificent.
It was no problem.
It was magnificent
last
year. They
had no idea what was coming out.
See, that's worrisome about this year because I think so many Longhorn fans are, you know, everybody's into the Kool-Aid and everybody's into this Arch Steele, Cam Coleman and the running backs and, you know, we got Will Muschamp's back. Ohio State's damn good. They're really, really, really good.
I just came to you.
You won't hear that inside anywhere else. You won't hear that inside anywhere else.
There.
But I just think be careful. Be careful on that game because
I'm going to buzzkill. Don't put too much. I mean, in terms of judging those teams, I wouldn't put too much into it.
Or
I really wouldn't. Because to me, you're judged now what you do in a playoff. I'm not saying it's not an interesting game. It is, and it is a barometer game. But to say the loser of that game, their fan base is going to freak out and act like it's all over, that's not true at all. The winner is going to act like they're home free. That's not true at all.
No.
You should judge it like the NFL. What are you like come playoff time?
Well, look at all the stuff with Miami last year.
And I think they should play this game. I think absolutely.
Oh, I do. I agree. Remember Miami last year? We were laughing at them, mocked them. They lose to SMU. They do this. They do that. And Mario Cristobal, what a bonehead he is.
Yeah.
And they sneak in the playoffs. And what they do? They win.
Yeah.
They win.
They smothered everyone they played,
yes.
Including your Kyle's friends.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Are you going to call this a hot take? Are you going to? Well, no.
Jackassery. No, I thought. And again, I apologize because the more think about it, the more you may be right because of this Houston Tech game. It's a big one because, again, who's going to be Tech's quarterback?
Right.
Can Cody Campbell buy his way out of this one?
Is he going to go buy someone right now?
Can Rafael Cruz legislate the Tech win on this?
I mean, it's all of a sudden.
And who will
Josh Hoover's going to leave Indiana to go play for Tech in week 3?
Who will Rafael Cruz poison that night? Well, he'll be in Lubbock.
Oh, no, he's going to be there.
Well, he may be in Austin, then he'll be in Lubbock. I don't know. He's going to poison somebody. No, that's two separate weeks. Two separate weeks.
You know, I know he loves to suck up to the Aggies, and there's got a big base there. But why would anyone at A&M or Texas be on board with Rafael Cruz?
No, we don't want you here.
He's trying to dismantle everything you're about.
No, you're going to take away our money, Rafael.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
No, what I said was, Kalen DeBoer, these media days are stupid. It's optimism and fluff. I'm sorry. It just is.
Did you hear what the Florida coach said today? Our quarterbacks don't need to be Tim Tebow. We don't need to be Tim Tebow out there.
It's just silly. It's like the dude from Kentucky. It's just full of fluff. It means nothing. But the Kalen DeBoer goes to do the interview. Look, Kalen DeBoer is won everywhere. Yeah. If you put Kalen DeBoer at Ohio State, they win a championship. You get Kalen DeBoer at Texas, I think they're closer to a championship.
Kalen DeBoer chose the wrong school because he could be head coach in Michigan.
I totally agree.
Michigan's got money. Alabama, not so much.
And so the hickish fans.
Oh, come on, Jeff. You sound like Hillary Clinton talking about the despicables. Come on now. Watch what you say.
Do you hear the Paul Feinbaum show?
Well, those are hickish fans. Yeah, they're all from Alabama.
Oh, that's my point.
Okay.
I thought
you were labeling all fans of Alabama hickish. Not all Alabama fans are hickish. Thank you, Siri.
So, every day, all day.
Hey. Kalen.
He sucks. Feinbaum, almost United States Senator Feinbaum, today, as I sit down in the studio, says he needs to pound the table and say, we're going to win a championship now.
Yes.
Okay? And I'm thinking, you're not. You're not going to win another one anytime soon. And I think that if Nick Saban were coaching there today, I don't care if Don Shula were coaching there today, they would be number 4 through 7.
That'd be something if Don Shula was coaching. His son, coached there, flamed out. Yeah,
they would still be number 4 through 7. That's why Nick Saban's not coaching there anymore.
Oh, that fan base is going to be so jacked up. They're going to be so jacked up until...
They're always jacked up.
They're going to be jacked up until mid-October because they open with East Carolina. When? Uh-oh, they got to play at Kentucky. Got to play Will Stein's team.
He's the greatest coach ever.
You know why Kentucky's going to win?
Because of him.
Because of Will Stein. Then they get Florida State. Florida State's no good.
He's going to get fired by November.
Then they get South Carolina, the Gamecocks, no good.
He's going to get fired by December.
Then they play at Mississippi State. So Bama's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5-0.
I'll bet you they don't win a national championship.
Okay. Their next three games after being 5-0, Georgia, at Tennessee, home with the Fighting Texas A&M Aggies, and then at LSU. Good night, sweet prince. That's 1, 2, 3. A possible 4 losses in a row.
I don't think
possible.
So.
I don't think it's going to happen, but no. Possible. I think they beat Tennessee.
I'm not saying Alabama's bad. What I'm saying is screaming at Kalen DeBoer as if it's all his fault is silly. If Nick Saban were coaching there today, they would have virtually the same record.
Alabama fans are like Texas fans in ways. Texas program has money. Alabama has no money. But
right.
You expect your team to win every year because both Alabama have tasted the fruits of a national championship.
But it's a different world now.
Yeah, exactly.
The reason why Saban isn't doing this now is for the very reason they won't win. He doesn't matter. The coach doesn't matter. The history doesn't matter. Buying players is all that matters.
And the modern-day player doesn't care about Bear Bryant.
Exactly, or Nick Saban.
They want the money.
And DeBoer's a very good coach. If you put him in Michigan, they would do really well. If you put him in Texas, they would do really well. If you put him in Alabama, they're going to be pretty good. But they can't be as good as Ohio State. They can't be as good as Texas should be. They can't be as good as Michigan should be. They can't even be as good as Indiana because Indiana has Mark Cuban, and there's no Mark Cubans wandering around, sure. I know of, Tuscaloosa.
In Alabama, yeah. They got car Texas dealers, Tech, and they got barbecue places.
Texas Tech should be better. I know this is going to sound crazy. Should be better than Alabama.
Not crazy to me, Jeff. They should be. Not be crazy to me.
Players don't care about anything else. They may say they do, but the evidence says they don't. And so DeBoer is stuck in this world where people think it's 2015.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even 2020 anymore. Saban got out because of this. He knew his skill and his recruiting and his track record was no longer going to matter.
Yeah. I think you're spot on.
Oh, you do?
Spot on.
All right, so DeBoer is standing there, and he gives a terrible answer. And, of course, the fans just ripped him afterwards.
It looks like you took on an impossible job following Nick Saban. It also looks like you handle it really well. To what degree is that true, and how do you feel personally that you've handled that situation?
Yeah, I think you can talk about how great of a job Coach Saban did in building the program to what it is, and I just know my past experiences being part of places that have the pride and tradition on the extreme high level, like Alabama would or Alabama has. It'd be something that I wanted to be a part of, and. I love that challenge. I love the internal challenge of just in the moment of trying to bring a team together to be the best we can be. But I also love the challenge of taking a program and, one year, winning a championship is hard. What's so impressive with what Coach Saban did for so many years is doing it again because, everyone's coming after you. And everyone's going to bring their best when they face you on the football.
He didn't handle this well at all. But they were yelling at him saying...
On Paul's show, they were yelling at him?
Yeah, I think they may have called down the hall, too,
talking about
Trump, yeah.
Hi, you're on the air.
But they're yelling at him because they want him to scream, we're going to win it all. They're not.
No, with that schedule, they won't. And with with Georgia playing so much better, with the emergence of Kiffin out at LSU, and those are two clubs, two teams
and
why, of money.
Why did Kiffin go to LSU?
Money, yeah, money.
Exactly.
Money and a heritage.
Because he could do it at LSU, because God knows who they've taken the money from. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But he can do it at LSU what he couldn't do at Ole Miss.
And the Aggies have a lot of dough. And the Aggies right now, their football program is better, I'll say this publicly.
Publicly.
The Aggies football program, so much better, I think, than Alabama. Alabama, mm-hmm. I saw elements of them last year in their win against Oklahoma. They looked pretty good. But then the very next week in the Rose Bowl, geez.
They got smoked.
Oh yeah. Indiana just smoked them.
Raced them.
Yeah.
They averaged 6 yards a carry.
Yeah. And,
But you see what I'm saying.
I see exactly what you're saying.
This guy is, I mean, look, this is why I think fans of A&M in Texas should be far more critical, and fans of Alabama should be far less critical. Texas and A&M should be playing for a championship. In a sport that has reduced it down to very few have the money to compete, you should be competing. Texas Tech shouldn't be a one-game playoff flameout.
And Joey knows that, and Joey said that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, because you spend more money than everyone else, so you ought to win. Not more than Texas, but you see what I'm saying? So maybe you ought to ramp up the criticism of A&M and say, hey, man, why aren't you deeper in the playoff? Kalen DeBoer doesn't have what you have.
All right.
Forget the history.
Jeff, I hate to interrupt, but we got to take a break.
Oh, wow.
And may I have permission to turn it from the food channel?
I don't watch the TV.
Well, you don't watch the TV?
No.
Why has it been on the food channel for the last 3 hours, then, if you're not watching Guy's Cooking School or whatever it is?
I walked in. Opened my laptop. I took out my 66 pages of notes here.
Mm-hmm.
And I began doing a show, and I have no idea, nor do I care.
Well, you should care, because we want breaking news. You're not going to get breaking sports news on the food channel.
We've got a phone and a laptop open.
I know, but you'll get really breaking news if your phone...
No, I don't get Jack on TV. Sorry.
Adam Schefter may have something your little phone may not have. I'm just looking after the show, man.
Okay.
And I would like to say thanks to the technical crew, and thanks to Kyle for getting me back online. I appreciate that very much.
Why can't you get online?
Well, Kyle, what problem?
Why doesn't he understand this concept?
He was on the wrong Wi-Fi.
I was?
Yeah. The guest Wi-Fi is down, but the station Wi-Fi that's protected is working.
With our code word, which I will not reveal, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I don't want the people next door at the hour-by-hour hotel to get it. Yeah.
Or maybe you want theirs.
No, I don't want theirs.
I don't know.
I don't know. I want theirs.
Maybe you do.
I thought about you today, and I brought your name up.
Real nice. Quick. Thanks for that.
We were talking about...
At the one-hour motel, my name comes up. Thanks.
Well, there was a bill...
Are you talking to some crack dealers or
hold
what?
Hold on. There was a bill in Congress that said credit card companies and banks cannot track purchases of guns or bullets because they had been doing that. Because of pressure from anti-gun groups, they'd been channeling for some reason people who buy guns or buy bullets, yada-da-da-da-da. And I said, what's coming up next? I couldn't remember. What's the name of the sex store down the street that the name of the sex store?
Where you get your DVDs.
Dreamers. Okay.
Good Lord, man. You pass it every day.
I couldn't remember the name of it. And I said, Jeff Ward will know. And Melinda Brandt said, Jeff Ward goes to a sex shop? And I said, well, Melinda, yeah. So
why would you do that? Why would you go there like that?
It just kind of came out.
It did.
Yeah, but I couldn't remember Dreamers.
I've never been.
I've never been to Dreamers either.
But why did you say that I go there regularly?
A little jackassery, I guess.
You told that audience from Lampasas.
That Jeff Ward is a prevert.
Yeah.
What kind of sex shop do
they have in Lampasas? They still have VHS?
No, ain't no sex shops there in Lampasas, my friend.
Oh.
You've got wholesome places like Storm's Burger. You got an Italian place.
It's called Tractor Supply.
Tractors.
Oh, wow. They have a DVD section in the back.
In Tractor
behind
Supply?
Behind the curtain.
In Lampasas? Shocking.
Why would you defame me like that?
I'm sorry.
To those fine citizens.
Oh,
those open-minded... Free-thinking citizens.
Mark Malina got a big laugh out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're going to take another break. More on 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN.